So once you've designed your new building, it's time to build your new rink. Jim Ludlow is the president and CEO of True North Sports and Entertainment, who opened the MTS Center in Winnipeg in 2004. He says hiring the right people to build was key for them.
You know, it was a matter of really how the ownership was going to be represented. At the end of the day, we had one, you know, major company, well-known in Canada, who had been, you know, who had built a series of, you know, sort of, I would say, the leading company in Canada for building arenas. And, you know, they had, you know, come out of, they built the Scotiabank Place and I believe GM Place in Canada. And so they brought some of their best people from, you know, throughout the country, brought them into Winnipeg for the project. So one builder, lots of subtrades. I mean, you know, that builder will have its own own forces and things like concrete and the like. And then, you know, to keep everybody sort of sharp, to stand in between the builder and the owner, usually have owner's representation, which is a consultant who will, you know, assist the owner with sort of managing the construction process with the builder.
In Pittsburgh, the construction of the Console Energy Center took a while and called for some flexibility. Here's Ken Sawyer.
It takes about a year to plan, get the team together and all that, but then it's 2 years to build. And the plans are pretty developed, but they actually start before they're totally developed. And along the way, you're making changes, not to the basic layout of the seats or the number of balconies you have or whatever, but we made quite a few changes, in particular as we found as we started to buy out the building, buy out all the contents, we found that, well, we had better experience than we budgeted, and so it freed up some money where perhaps we had scaled back to keep within a budget. Now we should go back and add these things back then.
Back in Winnipeg, while building the MTS Center, there was really little margin for cost overruns. Jim Ludlow explains.
Because of the nature of our public-private partnership, we were, and appropriately so, we agreed on a level of design expectation for the community. We understood at the end of the day this would be 100% privately owned, 100% privately developed, and then managed and operated as we went forward. And we, the public sector then said to us, you know, cost overruns will be the responsibility of private sector. So, you know, for us, we had to be very certain what our costs were going to be. We only had so much to manage on the private sector side. And, you know, as a result, we invested a significant amount of money up front in soft costs, design and architecture and drawing. So by the time we went to pricing, we had a real good sense of, you know, what our costs were going to be because they were pricing off of almost construction documents. And we could buy that certainty. And as a result, entered into what's called a kind of a guaranteed maximum price contract with our builder. And, you know, those risks were then understood based on the level of drawing we had and the level of pricing in the marketplace that had taken place on the basis of those drawings. So we had to eliminate as much uncertainty and as much risk and create as much certainty as we could on the pricing and did it, that way.
While the building is under construction, there is another big consideration that has to be taken into account, and it's moving your season ticket holders from your old building into your new building. According to Pittsburgh Penguins president Ken Sawyer, this is important, and it takes time.
At least a year in planning, and then in the last, we started actually around March, we notified the season ticket holders of our relocation plan, and then it's a matter of customer service. It's a matter of showing them what their view will look like from their seat, where it'll physically be relative to where they were positioned in the old building. It's a very long and involved process because you could have simple issues like maybe between aisles, there's 19 seats when there used to be 20, and that means, you know, you've got to relocate one seat every row. And so it's very involved, And it's truly a customer service moment.
One big trend in arena construction that may surprise some, it's the desire for these facilities to be green. Here's Joshua Bourne.
That's a kind of missed that when I talked about some of the other elements that are going to happen in these venues going forward. There's a couple, sustainability is huge right now, and it's definitely something that designers and builders and owners are looking to get into their venues. Again, it comes down to cost at the end of the day. With a private developer like our LA NFL client, he specifically has made it an ideal of his to make sure this is a LEED certified building, specifically a LEED Gold building, which will be the first LEED certified NFL venue. But it takes a lot of effort and it takes some additional money that a city, for instance, may not want to pay. That being said, everybody wants green. And the way we really see it today, and this actually, my background, my background's actually in real estate prior to joining IDIS here. I worked doing real estate consulting and for financial products and market analysis. And what we were seeing at the time also is, while green was somewhat new, we saw a trend being that you weren't going to get a premium for being green. It wasn't going to bring in additional dollars for you. But what it did is if you weren't green, you were going to be discounted. So it almost is as if green or sustainable becomes the norm. And so all these venues going forward are sort of hitting that level. And if you don't have that, you seem to be behind the times. That being said, there's ways to, be sustainable and, encourage green elements without actually spending a lot of money as well. There's forward thinking, green, where literally you're putting photovoltaics on every panel of the roof. That's going to be expensive, but again, it's going to make a big impact. The other idea is to be passive with your sustainability, and that's really a lot of what we're doing in the LA NFL building. The removal of the steel, while you're saving $400 million, you also don't have to do the fabrication, the sourcing, the manufacturing, the transportation of all that steel. And so that's quite a large savings in terms of carbon footprint and, really making a difference in terms of going green. Another thing, especially in the arenas, you're starting to see implementation of recycling programs and water recycling and things like that. Those are elements that, again, we design for. We have to take into account maybe aren't elements that, get down to the end user at the end of the day as a feature. But almost every owner, city, developer, people that we deal with want those sort of elements in their building, knowing that going forward, if you don't have them, you'll be looked at as, old, essentially. So it's almost as if that's becoming the standard, I want to say. And I think that's where the industry is going as well. There are a couple of examples. There's a building called Toyo Ito in Taiwan that was just opened that has the most photovoltaics of any stadium in the world, I believe, and it's a pretty remarkable building. But at the end of the day, they sort of built that and designed that to make a statement, and less so about making it work economically or financially. And obviously, here in the States, that's always a big concern. Same in Canada, things have to make sense in these leagues. The owners or the leagues themselves, they all it's a board of governors. There's 30 or 32 teams, and they all look into everyone else's business. And so if you do something that's not good for the league, they'll put a halt on it. So it's definitely something that we account for, and definitely something that we see in venues going forward. It's just the question of what level of sustainability do you want, and is it worth the additional investment, and what do you think your business will get out of it at the bottom line, or what do you think your fan and your end user will get out of it as a bottom line? So two issues really weigh with that discussion.
In the end, there is much pomp and circumstance when a new building finally opens, and until the next one comes along, it carries the mantle of the newest and the best. But for how long? I asked Jim Ludlow, president and CEO of the MTS Center in Winnipeg, about the shelf life of his new building.
I suppose it does, like every other building, but we still feel like we've just opened the building, even though we're coming up on our sixth anniversary and our 6 millionth customer. But, I guess the one thing we start to look at today are the sort of major building elements, from air handling systems and the like, to understand what their lifespan is. And in the normal course, those elements can be replaced, and they have commonly a 20-year lifespan in the building. So we're still very early in our world to think about things like that. But I suppose that's a question for many generations to answer down the road. We'll see what Winnipeg is in another 40 years to understand what its needs are. I mean, I think we've tried to build for the future. We've tried to build for, you know, with the best information we have today and understanding, you know, the sports and entertainment world. I think we've achieved that for certain, and those, certainly from the building from 1953 to 2004, dramatic improvements in functionality and efficiency, for sure. So I think we've got it nailed today anyway.
Now, I'd like to take this moment right now to thank those who contributed their expertise to our program and help explain how the building process works for an NHL arena. Joshua Bourne, who at the time of the interview was the business development manager for Ida Sports but is now with Populous. Jim Ludlow, president and CEO of True North Sports and Entertainment, owners and operators of the MTS Center in Winnipeg. Andrew Kulak from thesportsroadtrip.com. As far as I am concerned, the number one expert in arenas from a fan's perspective, and Ken Sawyer, who recently stepped down as president of the Pittsburgh Penguins after overseeing the construction of the Console Energy Center. We're not done, though. When we come back, Ken King, president of the Calgary Flames, joins us for the most in-depth conversation about an arena in Calgary to this date.